Matthew 19:13-14 says, "Then some children were brought to him," talking about Jesus, "so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' Jesus so loved the children. He guarded and he protected them, and we are called to do the same. Today's panel will discuss how you can help some of the lost and hurting children that the world has otherwise overlooked, beginning today. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. Welcome back to the viewers at home. This is another exciting episode because we're talking about Whispering Ponies Ranch and our endeavor as Skywatch Television, Defender Publishing, and of course WPR, with the help of ministries like Royal Family Kids, to reach the lives of children who the world has otherwise overlooked. We're talking about kids who have fallen through the cracks of a broken system who desperately need basic demonstrations of just love and decency, and of course an introduction to Jesus, who is the ultimate Savior. Yes. But first, let me introduce this week's special guest. He's the founder of Royal Family Kids Organization, which today is known as For the Children, Wayne Tesh.
Good to be here, Joe. Good to be here.
Welcome back to the program, Wayne. If you missed last week, you really have to go back. There's video that you get to see of the kids at Whispering Ponies Ranch that have come for rehabilitation, riding the zip lines, interacting with our staff, climbing the rock wall, playing in the pool, and for just a little while, getting to be normal children about people who are affirming them and telling them that they have value and all the other basic human necessities that they may not get otherwise. Before we get into very much, though, Nita, I want to start with you. Because when you talk about Royal Family Kids Camp, Wayne Tesh, his founding of that organization 20 years ago, our family is introduced to the Royal Family Kids through organizations that Wayne was fostering at the time. And we learned of the power firsthand at a camp operation that had 35 acres plus amenities in Central Oregon called Camp Davidson. And that was where we first actually got to see these lost and hurting children, and the miracles that God could use just 1 week in the life of these kids to accomplish. It was miraculous. It was totally God. It was nothing we could have done with our own talents or skill sets, but doing the best we can to serve these kids and then watching what the Holy Spirit did with those efforts. We got to start all the way at the beginning. So our family has seen what happens with Royal Family Kids Camp, Central Oregon, 20 years ago. But it wasn't that long back, a few years ago, Nita now, and Tom, you begin to experience this vision for how to take your lifelong love for horses. You had ridden the large adult-sized horses for years, and then over time kind of fell in love with miniature ponies, and then started to see how they could be used therapeutically, which then kind of led to their incorporation at Whispering Ponies Ranch, and the rest is history. Tell us, when did you first get the idea to start Whispering Ponies Ranch and how these ponies are so integral to what happens there?
So we are in Missouri now, and we're supposed to be retiring.
Right.
So I had bought a couple of larger horses, and at another farm, I was looking to purchase another horse, and that horse bucked me off big time.
Yeah.
I landed, I was injured and laid up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to smaller animals, because I had just bought this little bitty miniature mm-hmm. for the grandkids. I remember she was itty bitty when we went.
Because you didn't want to put grandkids on a big horse.
No.
Just because of the risks.
Right, and because they were smaller and it would be easier for them to brush. I bought it as a novelty.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got hurt, I sold all the big ones because it scared me so much I could not imagine any of my family members being hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We didn't know what we were doing, so kept a little bitty one though for the kids, and we played with it. And I learned through this little horse that they also have this, they can pull carts, you know, you can do all kinds of fun little things you would never guess. But in any case, I bought a couple of other little miniatures, and I bought cart ponies, and I was having fun with them. In the meantime, the Lord had helped me find a chiropractor, which helped my back, and so now I'm becoming more healed. Then what happened was, here we are, I've got like maybe a handful of little horses out in the barn, and our house burns down.
Mm-hmm.
And so there we were, and amazingly enough, the barn did not burn.
Yep.
Now, it was a miracle in itself because the wind was blowing
now,
just
people,
right.
People may have missed what you just said because, you know, you've gotten used to this for a decade. She mentioned that her house burned down. But this was a catastrophic, full loss situation, right, Tom?
Lost everything.
Gone to the ground. Yep. Nothing but a foundation and maybe a few smoldered pictures.
So this was shortly after Christmas. My Christmas tree, what was left, was still there. And I had all the kids' ornaments that they had made for me. There was nothing left. And I'm digging through the rubble. Mm-hmm. The next day, I'm out there with a stick trying to find anything from my from anything. And this always chokes me up to tell. And I'll try to do this quickly, but I'm out there digging in the rubble. And I hear a busload of kids coming down the road, like school kids, little kids, screaming, "Help me, help me. Please, will someone help me?" And I looked up to think, I have a bunch of kids goofing off or what? Nothing there. Nothing. And so I thought, well, that was kind of weird. And I went to digging in the rubble again, trying to find anything. And I kid you not, it happened again. And it was distinctly kids screaming for help. And distinctly, for some oddball reason, I just knew they were on a bus. And there was lots of them. Too many for me to count. And so I kind of didn't know what to do with that. And there's Penny's in the audience, and she can verify this, because I wrote a little playful letter between her and I. We were trying to make sense of it. But in any case, that afternoon, I'm standing there with my husband in the driveway overlooking what was left. And I said, "Lord," I said, "I have to just tell you this. I said, I just need you to hear me say this out loud. I said, I really am interested and excited to know what God is going to bring out of these ashes. I want to see what is the beauty that he will bring." And that was kind of what birthed it. I kept messing with these little horses, and then I started personally realizing the therapeutic value that they had.
Right.
Because a little horse I had named Tink, and she actually is why we call it Whispering Ponies Ranch. Because I was going to be a horse whisperer, right? I come to Missouri to learn how to do it. And as it turned out, these horses whispered to me so deeply that I started finding, you know, weaknesses and things I needed help with. As a child growing up in a domestic challenged home, I never resolved. And these little horses started helping me, and I said, I want to take these horses and help other people. And that's how it all began. And because royal family is what we knew was an effective thing and had always been a primary part of what we wanted to do. That was what birthed all of it in. That's where I'm at.
And we have seen so many testimonies from the counselors.
Sure.
Especially the very first year coming in, Wayne. You know, we're saying we have miniature horses, we can use them. And most people were like, well, how will we use them and what do they do? And you know what I mean?
Right.
But the whole point is, you know, fast forward to this year, the camping season we just came out of. Every single counselor, that in fact, interacting with the miniature therapy horses is like one of the number one things.
Right,
no matter
is.
What else they might want to do, maybe zip line, maybe pool, maybe something else, but they want the kids interacting with those miniature horses because they saw this very wonderful thing, and that is when children no longer trust people.
Right.
If an adult tells you they love you, that might mean they want something from you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So they don't know how to trust. But when a pony shows you love, it's just it's a God thing.
Yep.
They just see, you know, that in nature, this is a creation that God made that is capable of expressing love and affection. And the kids will open up sometimes to the horses when they won't even talk to the counselors.
It's because they know that there's no inherent agenda behind what the
horse might be positioning himself to do.
Yeah.
So it started with Nita. Of course, the people have read her wonderful book, No Fences.
Yeah.
They have that story how when she was a little girl, her and her sister, they dreamed of using horses and flying around the world and helping people that were ailing and whatever. So in the same way, Wayne, that is a 12-year-old, God put in your heart the ministry of Royal Family Kids Camps, and you saw the red and yellow, black and white little children that would be ministered to. In the same way, Nita was born with that vision. Her and her sister, they knew it would involve animals, but no way of knowing exactly how God was going to put all of that together. And then it took the devastating loss of our home and Nita literally out there digging in the ashes and twice hearing. Now think about that. Twice hearing a school bus full of kids crying out, "Somebody help us."
Yes.
So It was truly a vision born out of the ashes of loss.
I remember the first couple of camps that we had coming through after this period of time, as those little kids were stepping down out of the bus, because we see them as they first arrive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there was one little girl in particular that was so sick because she was so nervous.
Her anxiety level was so high.
It was so high, they almost sent her home. This is just one of the first few camps we had. But in any case, when I see those kids get off of the bus, I can see, because we always announce their name and they get off and it's all, yay, we love you. But some of these kids, when they step down, you can see that same, I mean, I can't explain this, but I can hear their heart screaming, will somebody help me? I can see that every time the bus pulls in. That's why I like to be there when the bus comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then at the end of camp, it's those kids crying, will somebody please let me live here for the rest of my life? Really? Seriously?
They do. Right. They don't want to go home.
You know, Psalm 40 puts what takes place. We call it the abused child psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. Mm-hmm. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit, out of the mud, out of the mire. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings and he put within my heart a new song. And what happens at Whispering Ponies Ranch is that we give kids a new voice to sing new songs because the Holy Spirit prompts them and helps them and heals them and gives them hope and a purpose, all because of an experience of 1 week where moments, every moment matters.
Yes.
Yep. And sometimes when Nita was talking about the full loss of her home with the fire, but then what God does out of the ashes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And so here we have another situation where, you know, you look at ministries and you look at how often God, right after tragedy, is actually poising you. It's like a slingshot.
Yeah.
You feel set back, but that's right before God releases you to then excel in what he's calling you to do.
Absolutely. And
it's after that the whole opportunity to open up with these other properties and to start development was when this happened after that.
I want to pivot really quick back to Wayne for a second, though, because I think one of the things that we missed last week that I really wanted to ask you about in terms of setbacks, since we're kind of on that, you know, we ran camps every year from the time of our founding. We launched several years ago, every year, biggest time of the year. This is what we do. You know, we're producing Christian television programming. Behind the scenes, what we're doing as well is we're preparing for our summer camps. We're getting the pool ready. We're getting donors out to go through the field, and we're cleaning up as many ticks as we can, and we're prepping the grounds. And 2020 hits, and everybody's plans are just shut off because of this thing called COVID-19.
Yeah.
How do you run a kids' camp with social distancing and everybody's supposed to wear a mask and you can't be on a bus? And I mean, there were ministries like we absolutely dreaded it because this is what we do.
Yeah.
We dreaded, Wayne. There was two things that went through my mind. One, I can't believe we're not going to host camp this year. And I'm not going to get into the politics of any of it. Just the fact that we were expected not to run camps and were being told very authoritatively, you're not going to be running camps. There was also organizations that were being told, you're not going to run camps. Mm-hmm. So the second thing that went through my mind was, oh my Lord, literally, oh my Lord, these kids might only have this week away from the circumstances of the abuse that they're dealing with. And research has already illustrated that when parents are shut at home, frustrated, depressed, unable to work, angry maybe inherently, and their outlet is to take it out on the children, now the kids have no reprieve at all.
It was kind of a
triple sword. Like, this is so horrible. This is so evil that these kids can't come for their 1 week of Royal Family Kids. What did Royal Family Kids Camp, what did For the Children, what were you guys experiencing with COVID? How did that impact your ministry? And how have you kind of started getting your footing back?
First of all, prayer makes a huge difference.
Yes, it does.
And we came up with a 5-point program that I won't go into to make sure that we could still contact the kids. But what a lot of times the churches across America, what they did is that they formed a caravan.
Yeah.
And they would go and visit each foster home and they would take their birthday gifts with them.
That's
and
amazing.
Celebrate that. And we'd go by hawking, hold up signs. It was incredible. And I participated in a couple of those. And I'll never forget when we went by this one really difficult trailer park that we went through. We were driving by, and as I looked and as we were waving, here was a red-haired foster daughter in the middle, surrounded by foster mom, foster dad.
Mm-hmm.
She was waving with a great big grin on her face as the presents were given to her. And I looked at mom and dad's faces, mm-hmm. and they were literally crying.
Mm.
Tears were just running down their eyes. And that's when I realized that we're going into the highways and the byways.
Right.
Gotcha.
We're making a difference.
Yes.
We're not having them come to us. We're going to them. Yeah. And we looked at that as such a great opportunity for kids to recognize that there are people in this world that cared about them. And they had drive-bys at church parking lots. Yeah. It was just incredible, the creativity. What happened is that this past year, mm-hmm. we ended up with about over half of our camps still in operation, and even some of them are still day camps. They weren't resident camps,
yeah.
and they would run them at the church. So the creative power of God's people finding ways to say, we're going to reach the kids, made a huge difference.
Absolutely. Tom, let's get into how viewers at home and the people in this studio today can start immediately helping what we're doing at Whispering Ponies Ranch to reach these kids that otherwise have slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, so people have helped us in the past. We're asking you to do that again. We're calling this fundraiser the Friends of the Children. These programs, three programs, are going to play from Thanksgiving until near Christmas. So we're asking you to make a Thanksgiving gift or a Christmas gift. But specifically, this is to help us build the new play camp area that's already under development.
Yeah.
Now, Nita and I already went out. We spent all the money we could. There's a town in Ohio. I probably shouldn't say the name of the town. But their city
sure.
decided to sell us their commercial-built playground.
Right.
It's quite impressive. Nita and I were able to buy that. It's already been dismantled. It's been brought to the Whispering Ponies Ranch, and now all of the excavating, mm-hmm. The way we are building this, it's also going to have wheelchair ramps. There will be certain elements within the play camp that are for disabled children. It's being built so that also the teen reach, the older kids, maybe mm-hmm. we can talk about
later.
We're
going to talk about that, yeah.
We'll also be able to use certain elements that'll be in this play camp. So it's going to be quite exhaustive. Eventually, probably by summer camps of 2022, it'll also have a miniature golf area that'll be part of this. There'll be a swinging bridge that goes over to a giant treehouse being built by Treehouse Masters. So it's a very comprehensive plan. Now, by the way, and we don't have time to do this, I mean, a playground. Why would you build a playground for kids? I did not know until we started doing this research the number of extensive studies in psychology.
Yes.
That
yes.
have been done that show the benefits to children of well-designed playgrounds. But, I mean, it's the learning through play, therapeutic emotional benefits. It boosts self-confidence and self-esteem. It improves their physical dexterity.
Sure.
It helps them learn how to stand in line, wait your turn,
yes.
social skills.
Absolutely.
I mean, just an amazing amount of things that actually happen. So this is a perfect fit for Whispering Ponies Ranch. It is, of course, also very expensive to build what we want to do for these children. And I will just tell you right now that Nita and I have decided that we are going to once again make Defender Publishing the slave of Whispering Ponies Ranch. And we are going to let Defender Publishing match up to $50,000 in grants towards building this play camp. Now, here's how anybody can get involved with this whole effort to raise money. For a gift of any amount, a donor will receive a personalized gift box from us that has a Whispering Ponies Ranch pony calendar. It's got a mug. It's got the camp movie in it. Whispering Ponies Ranch keychain, stuff like that. Also, Joe, maybe later you can tell us about the CD included. That's for any gift of any amount. We are going to send that to you as our way of saying thank you. Now, for every person that would make a one-time $300 donation or more We're going to send you the same gift box, but we're also doing something else. We're going to send to you the limited time, only you are ever going to receive this, deluxe Defender Family Bible with the expanded Apocrypha. A Bible like this has not been published in over 200 years. This is a collector's item. The very first version of it was a soft cover. This one. It immediately became a collector's item. Right. Catherine could tell you that we get more requests for that Bible than anything we've ever put into print.
Daily.
It was a one-time run. You now find used copies of this Bible on Amazon and eBay that are selling for $1,000 or more. It's just such a collector's item. Well, we decided that we were going to upgrade. We are now putting this out in a hardback, deluxe, Defender's Family Bible, King James Version, red letter edition with the expanded Apocrypha, which is the way they used to be published 200 and some years ago. Nobody does that anymore. It's a collector's item. It's a family heirloom. We're going to send that to anybody that makes a donation of $300 or more. Plus, we're going to give you a $100 gift certificate to spend any way you want during the holiday seasons. For those who can make a one-time gift of $1,000 to help us build the play camp at Whispering Ponies Ranch, we're going to give you all of the above, the gift box, the deluxe Bible, but then a couple of things very specific to you. An invitation for those who make a gift of $1,000 or more to be in a live audience Skywatch television recording during the upcoming 2022 Branson Conference. In addition to that, a private tour with the Friends of the Children at Whispering Ponies Ranch in the fall of 2022. That date will only be sent to those who make this donation. It's going to be a private gathering. But at that gathering, there's going to be a huge group shot with all of the members of Skywatch Television, everybody from Whispering Ponies Ranch, everybody from Defender Publishing, and our employees, everybody, plus those of you that donated $1,000 as a Friend of the Children to help us build the play camp. And that giant group shot is going to be put beneath a protective shield at the entrance to the play camp, where it is going to say that this play camp was made possible through the generosity of the Friends of the Children, and it's going to have your picture together with us there. Very cool. I mean, that's worth $1,000 all by itself, right? Plus, there's going to be a banquet, a VIP banquet at the 2022 conference. I've already asked Wayne if he would join us again there in this private VIP gathering. You'll be part of that too. And then finally, we're going to give you a $300 gift certificate to use in the store to get anything you want during the holiday season to give to your friends and family. But again, this is all going to go to help us build this commercial play camp at the Whispering Ponies Ranch.
It's an endeavor, Tom, as I've heard you say this so many times. There are no more least of these than the least of these children that we're attempting to serve with all of our hearts. Before we run out of time, I want to pivot just for a minute because this is a question that comes up a lot. We've got amenities like the zip line, and we've got the rock wall, and a lot of people from the outside looking in will say things. Well, isn't that like basically a roller coaster? It's just a ride. it's like a you know, like you stand in a line, you punch a ticket, and you go on a roller coaster. But because of the way that it's organized, it is an experience.
Yeah.
So the zip line is a teachable moment.
Absolutely.
These kids come up, they sit down on the deck, we do everything we can to coach them through, but at the end of it, they have to consent to their own zip. They have to be the ones to take the courage to scoot themselves off the platform. And I get little kids all the time because I run the zip line. Probably one in four-ish will say, can't you just push me off the zip? Come on, come on, just push me. And I'll say, you're missing the point. You're going to do this. You can do this. And when you do, you're going to feel so amazing. And for the ones that will do it, we have a very high success rate. Mm-hmm. It's almost unanimous that every kid that comes to the camp that has an interest in the zip will go. The feeling of, I'm not sure, I have apprehension, I've always been told I have no value and I can't do anything. The feeling that they get when they choose to go on the zip line and they're walking back and the counselors and all their peers are cheering them on and you know, their chest is a little further out. You know, it's so from the outside looking at, why do you have a rock wall? Why do you have a zip line? It's because these are teachable moments. It's also super fun.
Yes.
But as Tom said, with the playground, you know, all of it has these dual layers of also being a teaching tool. We don't want to exclude the kitchen. Catherine, with just a couple of minutes left, I want to sneak this in.
Okay.
Why is food service so important? I mean, in this country with such a surplus, don't most kids eat well?
Absolutely not. I don't know all the statistics, but food is very important to these kids, and sometimes they don't have any food. And I know a lot of schools have the backpack program, and sometimes that's the only food that these kids even have on the weekend. So they're used to any kind of prepackaged crackers, things. So at camp, we always try, and Tom is very insistent on this.
Absolutely.
The buffet is completely full. It's not just your typical buffet food either.
It's not a camp food mentality.
Nice as we can. Absolutely.
It's really
not.
Nice.
And they can eat as much as they want. And that's one of the biggest things that a lot of the kids say is like, oh, my gosh, look at all this food. And then, you know, some of the counselors have to kind of watch them, too, because they'll be grabbing extras and sticking it in their pockets
because they're thinking they have to stash it for the weekend.
And then just knowing that the kids get three meals a day, plus snacks. It's amazing. And to see the kids kind of...
But the food tastes really good.
It does taste good.
Listen,
but
it's delicious.
I can just testify. Tom's expectation for the food service is he wants adult-level, private banquet food quality.
Absolutely.
This is not a chicken tater out of a frozen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Little tater tots and a corn dog. Now, they do pizza night, but that's because the kids are crazy about the never-ending pizza.
Yeah, so we have found a little place that does pizza for us, and so they were wonderful, and their pizza was very good, so we do have a pizza night. But, you know, some of the kids, too, at first, they're overwhelmed by the amount of food that there is, but then they're also very leery of the food because maybe they grew up where the food was rotten.
Yeah.
And you cannot serve these kids anything expired. We have to be so extremely careful with our milk and juice because these kids are watching those dates because they know when it's expired and they'll come, hey, one of your milks. Oh, I'm so sorry. But then that kind of scares them. So we have to be super on top of the foods that we're serving to these kids. And we do always also have extra backup food in the back because some of the kids are so leery of the food that we'll have like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or some crackers that they know is safe because it comes in a backpack lunch kind of a thing, the backpack lunch program. So we always try to make sure that the kids are absolutely taken care of. And we even tell the counselors, hey, if your kid won't eat certain things and we need to get the kids to eat, come tell us and we will do whatever we need to do to make sure that these kids get food that they will actually eat and they never go hungry.
And the kids are preferred above.
Yes, absolutely.
Including our staff.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
They eat first.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do.
I think it was Tom that said a couple of years back that he overheard some of the kids say, we're eating like kings. We're eating like kings because they had the option for fruit. Folks, this is serious. Please partner with us, the Friends of the Children. Take advantage of this opportunity to help support what we're doing with Royal Family Kids and over at Whispering Ponies Ranch. Unfortunately, we're all out of time. I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll continue this next week.